The first reading is taken from the Psalms, Psalm 66, beginning at verse 1, ending at verse 9. That can be found on the Pew Bibles on page 580. Psalm 66. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works on man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise, O God, praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading comes from Luke's gospel, chapter 10, verses 17 to 24. This can be found on page 1041 in the church Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one who knows who the Father is except the Son, and to those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ. Please do be seated. Well, this morning we continue our sermon series, which we've called Meeting Christ in Prayer. And the idea is that as we read through the prayers of Jesus in Luke's Gospel, we'll come to know him in greater measure. And today we turn to that little prayer in chapter 10. And I have to say, it's the sort of prayer we could skip over quite easily if we were reading the Gospel cover to cover at some speed. It's recorded in the space of a few short verses, but that's not to say it's unimportant. And this morning we have the opportunity to think through its message and consider the very real demands it makes of each of us as we seek to live faithfully for the Lord. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you that he proved to be a man of great prayer. And as we examine those prayers, Form us into a more prayerful people, a more Christ-like people. Amen. So I think it's true to say that we would like to think of ourselves as people of purpose. We don't want to think of ourselves as aimless or without direction. We'd want to be the sort of people that go about things with drive and energy. The difficulty is, particularly in our current culture, this desire for purpose can be misdirected into busyness for busyness' sake. We can rush around, more concerned with the appearance of looking important, more concerned that we come across as up against the wire and rushed off our feet, than we are about taking the time to do things well. One of the things our parish warden Ray said to me some time ago that stuck is that when he retired, he took his wristwatch off and hasn't worn it since. He had a career rushing around, and now he's quite happy to be free of that pressure. And here I'm sure you'll agree, even though Ray feels free from that pressure, no one would ever say that he goes about things without purpose or energy. To the contrary, you don't have to know him well to know he's a parish stalwart, an absolute workhorse who gets the job done. You see, it all depends on what we look to for that sense of purpose and direction. Again, you don't have to know Ray very well to know he's a man of great prayer. You see, it all depends on what we look to for that sense of direction and purpose. And here's the crux of it. What's more important, who we are or what we do? Who we are or what we do? And this challenge sets the scene for our gospel reading. Now, one of Luke's driving themes is mission. That's the work of the church to tell people the good news. Jesus chooses, trains, and then sends out his disciples into the world. And then in Luke's second book of the Bible, the book of Acts, we read about how that mission, how that message is received. And in our chapter this morning in Luke 10, in preparation for all that's to come, all that we read about later in Acts, we see Jesus taking 70 trainee disciples and sends them out. And here they return with the most extraordinary stories. They say that they've even cast out demons in Jesus' name. Now we want to say, surely this is a good thing. That in the name of Jesus, people are being released from the powers of darkness as the gospel is preached and practiced. So why is Jesus' response here such a riddle? And I think the clue is in the word authority. If you have a Bible to hand, it might be useful to have this passage in front of you. As I say, I think the clue, the key, is the word authority. Let me read now from verse 19. Jesus says, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Jesus gives us authority to be about his work, no question. But in what should we rejoice? That our names are written in heaven. We rejoice not in what God's authority gives us permission to do, but in what it frees us up to be. His children. God's authority gives us great assurance. By what authority can you be so sure of yourself? By God's authority. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't want you to hear me saying that the Christian life is not about doing, but simply about being, a trite phrase you might well have come across. Of course, what we do is of huge significance. What I'm saying, however, is that who we are before God precedes what we do for his church. That is, God works in us before we work for him. God turns our heart before he turns our hands to the task. But as I said a moment ago, we find ourselves fighting a cultural pressure to reverse this order, to rejoice in what we do rather than who we are because of what God has done. There is a narrative which says your identity is what you do. And as an example of this, let me share this illustration. Imagine yourself at a dinner party and a mutual friend introduces you to someone for the first time. And one of the opening questions that inevitably comes up is, and what do you do? Or perhaps if you're retired, it might be, what did you do in your working life? You see, we face a pressure that says you are what you do. Here's some pastoral advice. If you do find yourself in that scenario, try to introduce yourself and get to know someone without asking them what they've done for a living. Because then people will feel like you're interested in them for who they are, not for what you can get out of them. Mistakenly, we prioritize what we do as if it defines all of who we are. And so now we begin to unravel the significance of Jesus' response. Do not rejoice that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Give thanks for what God has done in your heart, because it's from that our hands are set to the task of building his church. Heart before hands, creed before career, who we are before what we do. Dare I say, Christ, even before parish duties. Do not rejoice that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Heart before hands, creed before career. And now, having established this pattern, this order, Jesus opens with the prayer that follows. And we can find it here from verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. If that first paragraph, if you like, if verses 17 to 20 are about authority and identity, the verses that follow are about faith and family. In the one hand, authority and identity. In the other, faith and family. And the first thing I'd like to draw your attention to is that this order, where heart comes before hands, creed before career, it's hidden. I thank you, Father, these things have been hidden and that they're revealed by faith. Well, some months ago, back in the winter, I was asked to attend a careers fair representing the clergy, which was an interesting enough thing. And one of the fellow volunteers speaking to me before the event, I was talking about a forthcoming change in role. And he said to me, quite frankly, the problem is, you can't make the sort of money I make without working in London. I'm sure that's very true. And you know, I can't say I really blame him for thinking like that. That drive is so pervasive. The pursuit of riches is so dominant that it's little wonder that the quiet way of faith is hidden amongst the louder voices of competing desires. The quiet, humble way of faith is hidden. But rest assured, says Jesus, in amongst the hustle and bustle of business, just left of centre of the trading floors of the city. The Son is revealing the Father. By faith, God is calling us into his family. To refocus on the things that matter, to get our priorities right. Here's the sting in the tail. God is at work to remind us of the things which came so naturally to us as children. Heart before hands. Creed before career. Who we are before what we do. It's sad, but it's so often the case that I meet people who tell me that they plan to do this or that, and then God will accept them. They'll say to me, Simon, if I just do this, God will forgive me. And friends, that's not the way it is. If we think we can win God over by what we do, by our works, we fail to understand grace. Grace is gift. Grace is God working in our hearts before we respond with our hands. Grace is Jesus revealing the Father to us, inviting us into his family before ever we realized we needed help. So what's hidden and what comes to us by faith? Simply this. Jesus prays that we might be part of his family. And from that, our sense of direction flows. Jesus prays that we might be part of his family. And from that, our sense of direction follows. But here's the challenge then. What do we consider to be the greater defining influence on who we are? What God has done? Or what we do? What speaks a stronger word over your life? What God has done? Or what I do? Jesus prays that we might be part of his family. What a prayer that the Son of God should make for us. Jesus prays that we might be part of his family. And from that, our sense of direction follows. Heart before hands, creed before career, who we are before what we do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of your Son, that we should rejoice that our names are written in heaven. We thank you that by your authority we may have such great assurance. And we pray that by your help you would help us to lay aside those things that shape our personality, our identity, more than they should. And we ask that in word and deed it might be truly said of us that we put the heart before hands, creed before career, who we are before what we do. Amen.